Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift your hands toward heaven and say something to the Lord. Prepare your hearts to receive. There are two ways you engage the Spirit. The first way you engage the Spirit is to sustain the right heart posture. He said, men look on the outward, but God looks at the heart. And the second way to engage the Spirit is by talking. Words mean much more to a spirit. Spirits don't just consider words for communication. To a spirit, words transmit life. It transmits much more than information. So go ahead and speak to the Lord even as you position your heart tonight. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Can you pray passionately? Go ahead and pray passionately. Like someone full of expectations. Go ahead and pray. Maro Frahaskila. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, it's been 25 years of mercy. It's been 25 years of unending faithfulness. It's been 25 years of outpouring, continuous outpouring over your people. It's been 25 years of miraculous living. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Even tonight, as we look up to you, Lord, we ask that there will be a shift. You said they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. And you said times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so tonight we'll be refreshed and there'll be a shift for everyone. Take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Because tonight is the first night, I would take time to build gradually, just to establish a few coordinates to help guide our navigation subsequently. Tomorrow, we'll have the liberty of operating more intensely. Tonight, I'll be sharing with us on the pathway to new dimensions. We are considering new dimension as a subject. And so I want to show you the pathways of accessing new realms in God. Like I quoted already, according to God's plan, we are supposed to be progressive in our journey. The Bible said, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And because God is a limitless entity, stagnation is not permitted. Every creation and every being that finds expression in God is expected to progressively, positively move in God. And so new dimensions are actually realities we should have periodically. The spiritual birth of a man are tied to his transitions in the spirit. You celebrate a natural birthday after a period of time, but a spiritual birthday takes place when you transit. Because God is light, and your age in God is tied to the light that you access. So you become older when you access more light. Our glory is tied to the depths and the degrees of our illumination. And so in Christ, we move from glory to glory as we access higher realms of light. And so when you access more light, you have come into a new dimension. But there are definite paths in the spirit that helps you to ascend and to build momentum in God. And so tonight, I just want to show some of these structures. Now, as you grow in God, there is a byproduct that happens in the natural. Because it's impossible to gain ascension in the spirit and not have a ripple effect in the natural. So I will talk about it in two dimensions, in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. There are representations of the things that happen in the spirit in the natural. And so every time we progress in the spirit, we find byproducts in the natural. But it's also important to note that the things that happen in the natural is not the focus. The things that happen in the spirit is the focus. Because who you are in the spirit is superior to who you are in the natural. The essence of creation is threefold. Number one is to glorify God. And the way you glorify God is to contain Him and to reflect Him. To glorify God is deeper than just speaking well of God. To glorify God is deeper than just talking about God. The reason is because even without us talking about God, creation itself sings God's praise. The Bible says when you look at nature, nature carries the signature of God. In fact, there will be no evangelist that will speak better about God than creation itself. The mountains, the stars, all of these things speaks of the excellencies of God. And so glorifying God is deeper than talking about God. Glorifying God is actually your ability to contact, contain, and manifest God. That's why he said in 1 Peter 2:9, he said you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. So our ability to make contact with God and reflect God eventually becomes the cardinal reason for our being. Because that's how God derives pleasure. When John was carried to heaven and he saw the ancients communing, one of the things they spoke about was the reason for creation. He said he saw 24 elders worshipping God. Now, when you go into the spirit realm, where spirits are expected not to have chronological age, and some creatures are called elders, then you need to find out the requirements for eldership in the spirit. Because spirits themselves are not judged by time. So what makes a being an elder among spirits? One of the things that makes a being an elder are the secrets he carries. If you are a custodian, the things you can be trusted with is a sign of your integrity in the spirit realm. And so one of the elders who has access to the depths of God made a statement. He said, all things were created for thy pleasure when they were worshipping God. So giving God pleasure was the reason for creation. And the way you give God pleasure is to reveal Him.
He said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. So he wanted man to be the clearest signature of his being. So when you see man, you see God. God didn't want to introduce himself to creation. So he modeled himself through man. So when you make contact with a man, you should have made contact with God. So the first reason for creation is to glorify God. And the way we do it is that we don't show ourselves, we show God. So when you touch me, you touch God. I become like a signpost that reveals God. I'm willing to bury my own identity so that God's identity becomes more conspicuous. If you are able to attain that level, then you found meaning for creation. The second reason for creation is to advance God's agenda. Because God is a businessman. You don't create an enterprise and you don't have a purpose for it. So God recruited us to advance his purpose on the face of the earth. And so when a man finds that purpose and begins to fulfill it, then his essence, his being has meaning. He said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. So there is an agenda that predates your existence. Your ability to find it and live it is what gives value, credence and validation to your existence. So your ability to participate in advancing God's corporate agenda for your generation becomes the reason why you came. So number one, you glorify him. Number two, you advance his agenda. And number three, God wants to show his love and benevolence. And so on this wise, God lavishes all he has on his creation. So when you want to study the character of God, you check his dealing with men. When God is kind to men, you can now say God is a kind God. When God is merciful to men, you can now say God is a merciful God. So man's relationship with God reveals God's character and attributes. Man's relationship with God becomes a basis by which God can be known, by which God can be studied. And so when you study God, you are studying his dealings with men. Everything you call the Bible today is a reflection of God's dealings with men. So God's dealings with men become the basis by which this invincible spirit that cannot be approached cannot be understood. This is why Ephesians 3:10 said the church becomes the theater through which principalities and powers can learn the manifold wisdom of God. Because when they are in heaven, there's no book they have to read about God. They only follow and obey God. That's why the only revelation the angels have about God is holy. And the word holy means you are separate. You are in your own class. There's none like you. So they don't really know him experientially. All they know is that there's none like this being. It was in God's dealing with man that the angels now began to understand that there are many components in this God that we only dread. It is in redemption that they discover that God could love so much that he will strip himself of his glory. And he will humble himself, make himself vulnerable in order to save his own creation. So you, this God that is so powerful and glorious, you are able to accept the position of weakness on account of your love. That means your love is hid in your weakness is hid in your love. Now we understand that you too have a weakness. And that weakness is not negative. It's actually a good weakness because it is tied to your love. We never knew that you could love so much. Because when God appears in heaven, the whole of heaven vibrates. And the angels, the elders, they fall from their throne in fear and trembling. But this same God became a child and was trapped in the womb of a woman for 9 months. This same God was born as a baby. They had to escape with him, not to be killed. He said, rise up, take the child and run to Egypt. Ah! Is it this God we are worshipping that they are saving? Ha 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 ha. All of that infrastructure is put in place to reveal that God is a God of love. There's no way the angels would have discovered that because there's no basis by which they could study him. It was in him, his interaction with men that his essence was manifested. And then they saw that this God is so powerful. We know that whatever he says happens. If man offends you, why don't you just say forgive? You are forgiven. No. Forgiveness is not without recompense. And so the only way God can forgive is that somebody must pay the price. So God himself paid the price for man to be forgiven. So they now understood the weight of justice in the spirit. Because they didn't know the place of justice and equity. They thought as a powerful God, he could just say you are forgiven, it's done. No. There must be atonement for forgiveness to be possible. So every dealing of God with man revealed a character and a nature in God that the angels never knew. So our existence affords creation and the angels the opportunity to understand God, because in relating with man, God manifests his nature. So three things that makes our existence very important is the fact that we glorify God. It's the fact that we are given the opportunity to participate in his corporate agenda. And it's in the fact that our relationship is the basis by which the character and the nature of God can be manifested. I said all of that to let you know that your growth in the spirit is superior to your growth in the natural. Because it is in your growth in the spirit that these three things are achieved. You can become big in the natural, but you never glorify God. You can become big in the natural, you never fulfill God's agenda. And you can become big in the natural, and you never reveal any character about God, because you have no relationship with God. On that wise, there's no new dimension for you. So new dimension begins in the spirit, and the impact manifests in the natural. Because many people may be assuming new dimension is an opportunity to get a new car. That's not what we are talking about. Some may think new dimension is to get a new house or to get a new job. If that is your definition of new dimension, then you don't need God to get all of that. Because there are many people in Lagos here who can give you a new job without God. But when you touch it in the spirit, these ones will now become an addition. So God will not exclude that, but what God will do will be deeper than all of that. Having established this, let me start my message. Aliyah, Aliyah, don't worry, these songs may be many. Aliyah, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Thank you, Father. And so there are three things I would outline as the junctions that makes for heights in the spirit. When you are accessing new dimensions, you must find these three junctions. If you don't find them, it may be a bit difficult. These things form the pathways as you journey from one level of glory to another in spiritual realities. And those who God has shown mercy, they know this journey. They know it both experientially and cognitively. When God begins to draw men into heights in the spirit, there are three things he does for them. And these three things define the path through which they journey. The first is a gift. He said, blessed is the man that God causes to approach him. If God does not give you that opportunity, you can't come close to his realm. It's an honor. In the realm of the spirit, it's an honor for you to access heights. In fact, the height you stand in the spirit also defines your authority. In Luke chapter 1 verse 17, when the angel Gabriel was talking to Zacharias, and Zacharias failed to believe him, there was an authority he drew from. He didn't invoke a name. He invoked his standing in the spirit. Because where you are standing in the spirit is an authority. He said, I am Gabriel. I bring you these glad tidings and you doubt me. He said, on the strength of that, you will be dumb until the day these things manifest. He said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. And so what God does is that if he wants you to begin to journey in the spirit, because every one of us obviously lacks spiritual intelligence, God will first of all, on account of his benevolence, begin to draw us without merit. That drawing is what you call a gift. It's a gift of access that God gives men. It's a gift of access that God gives men in order for men to taste of realities. And on the strength of their tasting of those realities, they now begin to seek God. Because if you have not tasted of him, you may not know the things that are there. And so the first thing God will do is that he will grant you some level of access. As you taste of his favor, as you taste of his mercies, you will now discover that those opportunities that he affords you will make you to begin to seek something that is deeper than the natural. That's when you start drawing into God. None of us was wise to seek God. It was God who drew us to himself. Jesus said, everyone that comes to me, it is the Father that draws them. And so that access God gives us in the spirit is a gift. And that gift is what brings us into the first dimension of reality that we enter into. In fact, when God draws you to himself, you will discover there are a plethora of things that are available. And the first thing you will find will be forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 12, he said, I write unto you children. The word children in the Bible, in the New Testament, predominantly are two words used for children, predominantly. Sometimes you find three. But you basically have nepios and technon. Nepios is one who does not have understanding. Technon is one who is born biologically. But at all levels, children are people who don't qualify for things, but on account of benevolence, they are granted access. And the reason God does this is because God represents different things. When you begin to study God, you discover God is Father. You discover God is Judge. You discover God is King. And you discover God is Lord. These four dimensions of God represent four different things. As a Father, he functions by love and obligation. And that is the first level we meet God. Every one of us met God as Father because we don't qualify for nothing. But for us to come into that son fatherly relationship, his love will have to necessitate it. And what that love does is that it affords us forgiveness so that the reproach that keeps us away from God is rolled away. But for us to go deeper, we must find the Lord. The Lord is the owner of all things, so he will guide his property with jealousy. Where we find the judge is the custodian of justice and equity. So he will not allow you to move at certain level until you meet certain qualifications. Hope you know in heaven, he said, the seal is given to the one who is worthy. The first level you engage God, you don't qualify. That's why it's a gift. At that level, you are dealing with a Father. And the first thing he will do is that he will forgive you. And the Bible told us why he forgave us. He didn't even forgive us because we are reasonable. In 1 John 2 verse 1, it says, if any man sin, it says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the propitiation of sin. So it's on the strength of Jesus being made the price for sin that you are forgiven. In verse 12, he says he has forgiven you for his name's sake. So it has nothing to do with you. That's why it's a gift. You might even be so unreasonable. I met somebody the other day, and I was talking to him about God, and he was smoking. I said, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you. He said, really? I said, people who don't accept God will go to hell. He said, well. I said, it's not a casual. I was shocked at his impudence, arrogance, and foolishness. I'm talking to you about your eternal state. It was casual. Well, I spoke after a while. I said, well, maybe we should give it a try. Is this eternity you are handling with so much levity? Many people are not reasonable. Still, God will forgive them. Because it's a gift. You don't earn it. Christ died to make it available. So long as you accept it, it's given you. And that gift does not even stop there. In addition to that, he will put his Holy Spirit in you. And when the Holy Ghost comes into you, the Holy Ghost manifests in many ways. The Holy Ghost can manifest as wisdom. The Holy Ghost can manifest as word of knowledge. The Holy Ghost can manifest as discerning of spirit. There are many things the Holy Ghost begins to do in you that makes you higher than the normal man. All of that is still God's gift. And so suddenly you discover there's an awakening of wisdom in you. On the strength of that wisdom, you become very creative and you begin to do things that ordinary people don't know. And as you are doing that thing, you will discover natural doors will now begin to open to you. Maybe because you are eloquent and there is favor on your life, they give you a job that you don't merit. And then you begin to speak on behalf of a company and a car comes, promotions begin to come. Because now you are in God, giftings are being activated. You can discover that suddenly God gives you something that when you touch people or you speak to people, things happen for them. And people begin to discover that there is something on your life. And on the strength of that, they begin to make things happen for you. All of that is tied to the gift of God that is at work in you. At first, it gives you access to God. Then secondly, it becomes a river that flows from you to make life easy for you. You call all of that a dimension because what is happening to you is a propensity higher than natural. Most of you here today, you came to Lagos stranded. You didn't even have anybody. But suddenly you came and things were happening supernaturally. And somehow you met somebody who spoke to somebody. And today you have a house, you have a car. You don't know how it's happening, but you are just going forward. Because the gift of God is opening up chambers. The gift of God is doing a lot of things that favors you. In fact, the Bible said, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before the great. So what that gift of God does is, number one, it gives you room in the realm of God. And number two, it gives you room in the realm of men. When you come into this first layer of reality, it's a dimension. It's a dimension because the possibilities that are there are superior to your natural abilities. 10 people go somewhere, they pick you. Even you know that if it is based on merit alone, you wouldn't have been the one. But somewhere, somehow, you are the one choosing. What others did and died, you did it and came out. You know you are not that strong. But you know something is at work in you that yourself cannot explain. It's the gift of God at work. And so two things that will be happening to you at this first dimension is that there will be a hunger pulling you towards God. And there will also be a power making way for you. If you are wise, what you now do is to balance that gift and sharpen it. Because most people, when God opens this gate to them benevolently in salvation, they don't know what to do with it. So they don't know how to doctor it. They don't know how to manage it. And so people don't journey far because even though the realm of gift is open to them, they don't know how to doctor it. They don't know how to manage it. And after a while, if all there is about you is a gift, you will discover you will fall. And so the first thing about a new dimension is the operation of the giftings of God. And for you to keep the balance of the giftings of God, you must satisfy the part of it that seeks God. And you must also sharpen the part of it that opens gates for you. You can speak intelligently one day and it opens a door. If they make you a spokesman for a company, you need to read. Because there will be many other facts you need to communicate. You can come to a place and by favor, they give you a position. If you are placed in that position, you need to study. You need to build. You need to train. So it's called sharpening of the edge of the gift. But many believers, they don't know how to operate even in the realm of gifts. God gives them gifts. There are some persons that favor open door to them. But the oil of that favor is in God's presence. That door that opens, they now pursue it. And they are growing on their job. And the higher they go, the farther God becomes from them. And so they now discover they will journey to a point. They look back. They can't see God anymore. And because they can no longer see God, their favor begin to wane. And the battles that they were winning before without thinking, they now struggle. They can no longer win those battles because they don't know how to manage the ecosystem of the first layer of the new dimension. The dimensions of the gift also has requirements. The first requirement is that you need to nurture the source from whence that gift came. If that gift came to you because you encountered God, you will keep encountering God to keep it. And then the second thing you need to do to that gift is to sharpen the edge of that gift through training. There are many believers who God opens a door to them because of gift. They don't train themselves. They are only pursuing encounters. And so they become religious by God and they become irrelevant in society. The guy, God opened the door to him into the banking world. And then he goes to bank, he's praying in tongues only. You will service the encounter, but you also need to be a smart banker. You also need to train and learn. And so it's a double-edged sword. On one part, you service the source of that gift. And on another part, you keep the gift sharp so that you don't bring reproach to the name of God. It's a pathway into new dimension. This is why many people take one step forward, they take three backward. And they don't know why their lives cannot be eternally impactful. The reason is because they came into a realm by the benevolence of God, but they don't know what to do to manage it. And so everybody who wants to really ascend to new realms, number one, must learn how to take advantage of the giftings that are available. And when he takes advantage of those giftings, he needs to know how to service it from the God angle. And he also needs to know how to service it from the human angle. Many believers have failed in the area of giftings. That's why, although gifted, they live in reproach. There's not one of us here that is without a gift. God is too benevolent to leave you stranded in life. And so the problem you may have is that you have not found your gift. Many persons who should wait on God to find what he has given to them, they are running from place to place doing politics and canvassing human support. The Bible says, woe unto him that trusted in the arm of flesh. Men will fail you 1,000 times. Every man connected to you is connected to you because you have value. The king does not accept you because he loves you. The king accepts you because you can solve problems. Joseph was in prison for 14 years. Nobody cared. The moment the gift began to speak, the king called him and said, who else is like Joseph in this kingdom? Genesis 41, verse 38. Who else is like Joseph? How did Joseph become important all of a sudden? He has a gift nobody else has. And so the king does not relate with you because he loves you. The king relates with you because you have a gift. He said, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. He said, kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. That means you have a light. You sharpen it to brightness to stay relevant. All of that is an economy of gift. And that's the first layer in the path to the new dimension. You may be here in this conference. You have not even discovered your gift. What God will do is that he will open your eye to discover what he has put in you. Because if he doesn't open your eye, you will never enter any new dimension. Your new dimension begins from your area of peculiarity. And your area of peculiarity is that unique and distinct gift that God put in you. It could be as simple as singing. It could be as simple as having the ability to make people laugh. It could be as simple as being able to play football. It could be as simple as having a retentive memory. But there is something about that thing that you have that nobody else has. And so if you notice this thing came from God, you quickly begin to service it. And as you are servicing it, through training, you begin to sharpen it. As you are sharpening it, forget, nothing may be happening. Wait. Just wait and keep sharpening. It's when you stop sharpening that you have a problem. If you are sharpening that gift, don't worry. Nobody may notice you. Give it time. After 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, somebody will tell somebody that there's something about this man that no other person has. And from that person, you get to another person. Did you not read about Joseph? Joseph was sold as a servant. Joseph became a houseboy. Joseph became a prisoner. He was in prison for many years, but the gift was sharp. He gave interpretation to somebody's dream. The person forgot for 2 years. The gift was still sharp. He kept sharpening the gift. The day he appeared before the king, he didn't need a rehearsal. No. If you look for a rehearsal in the day of your manifestation, you are finished. And that's why when things seem not to be happening, be walking. Be sharpening your gift. God gave you that voice. Nobody has invited you. Keep sharpening that gift. As you are servicing it in God's presence, be sharpening that gift. One day, they may just go to a meeting and the person they were hoping to introduce somebody won't come. And they tell you, can you come and just keep us busy for 5 minutes? That 5 minutes can become your lifetime occupation. Because it will open a door that no man can shut. You need a gift in order to enter a new dimension. Nobody is without a gift. That's why in the realm of God, sympathy and seeking pity is not a legal tender. He gave you something. When he comes, he will ask you, where is what I gave you? That little thing I gave you is enough to keep you for the rest of your life. Have you ever read in the Bible where they showed up and people don't present something? The prophet came. He said, what do you have? A woman so poor that two of her sons are about to be taken from her. How can you be asking such a person, what do you have? If I had something, wouldn't I present it to keep my children? Nobody is without nothing. Everybody has something. Many people have not focused on what God has given to them. And that's why their new season has not opened. The moment you find what God has given to you and begin to service it, you will be shocked how that God can lift a beggar from the dunghill and place him among princes to inherit thrones. There is a throne for everyone to inherit, but it will take an economy of giftings for you to rise from the pit to where princes stand. That's why nobody is disadvantaged. Hear me, never seek pity, never seek sympathy. Find out what God has put in you. When that thing shows up, you'll be shocked. You think the people making the headlines today were born so? Some of them came from the woods. Some of them came from corners where you don't expect that light can shine. But they had something and they never let go of it. As they keep servicing the source and sharpening that thing they had, a day came the world gathered round to celebrate what they carry. New dimensions begin from a gift. It's a pact. You can never violate it. The easiest way to ascend to a new realm is by a gift. If you don't have a gift yet, you may use a lifetime to gain access. Because even access to God's realm is a gift. And access to the corridors of men is also a gift. It will take something you have that no other person carries. And there's not one person here that is without something unique. There's something unique about you. Maybe you have not trusted God enough to think that thing can raise you. That's why you are celebrating what others have and you don't have. There are many persons, instead of nurturing their gift, they are trying to copy other people. And you were not built with the equipping to service what that person has. How can a stammerer try to be an eloquent speaker because an eloquent speaker is popular? You don't have the credentials. The more you do it, the more awkward you'll become. Find what you carry and service it. Yours may just be to serve. And as you are serving, they see meekness. They see brokenness. They see diligence. They see temperance. And suddenly, that thing can become an alarm in the spirit. And it will take you to where you are trying to copy the eloquent people will never take you to. Because even if you succeed in copying, you will be second best. And nobody is looking for second. Who is the second man that went to the moon? Nobody cares. Who is the second surgeon that separated joint twins? Nobody cares. Everybody is looking for the first. That's why you have to stick to your originality. And when God wants to shift you into new dimension, there is a gift he has put in you. Excavate it. Build on it. You'll be shocked where it will take you. When I'm done tonight, my first prayer is that God will open your eyes to that thing he's given you. Some of you saw it when you were 5 years old. You believed it. Until you grew up in society. And society made you feel what you have is not important. And those who have found theirs try to rubbish yours. And you dumped what God gave you trying to copy theirs. It's never too late to find your gift. Find it and see how it will shift you to corridors you will never have fathomed in your life. I pray for somebody today. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And that thing God has put in you, you will find it. When you master gifts and doors begin to open to you, then God will bring you to the second level. The second level is the level of laws. The realm of gifts is a realm of benevolence, but the realm of laws is a realm of justice. There is a level of authority God can't give you until you obey certain laws. Find out from those who are mighty. They will tell you. You can be singing a song and God just opens doors to you. But for God to make you a voice to your generation, there will be laws. Because at the level of a gift, God is trying to establish you. At the level of laws, God wants you to become his representative. And for you to represent God, he will need to shape you. He will need to chisel you. And so when a man migrates into realms through giftings, a point comes where authority becomes the bargain. And on the strength of that, God will begin to shape him through laws. At the realm of the gift, nobody is concerned. It's all about your establishment. But a point comes where you become an influence over a territory. And at that point, they want to find out who you represent. When giftings are opening doors for you to survive, to succeed and to excel, nobody's concerned about who you represent. At that point, it's just about the breakthroughs. It's just about the success stories. But a point comes where your story becomes a map to a generation. A point comes where what God is doing with you becomes an example to the youth. What God is doing with you becomes an example to the elderly. At that point, it's not just about success anymore. The question becomes, who do you represent? And in order for your representation not to be obscured, God will give you laws. That's what brings you into the blessing. Because the blessing is superior to the gift. At the level of the blessing, in addition to the things you receive, you become an authority. And so for God to shift you, these are the real dimensions in the spirit. The real dimensions in the spirit are not the individual things we point out. The real dimensions in the spirit are the cadres we ascend in the spirit. And so you come to a point where God becomes rigid with you. It's not just about talking and getting money or impressing people. How you talk becomes important. It's not just about beginning promotion on the job. What you do while you're on the job becomes important. Because when it was a gift, it was about skill. It was about wisdom. You were gaining promotions. You were the best. A point comes, God now asks you, why did you take bribe? Why did you cut corners? Why did you compromise? I'm not just interested in your promotion. I'm interested in you representing my government. That's where matters become a bit tough. And this is why many never go forward. Because their whole progress stops at the realm of a gift. And you will need authority to address a state. You need authority to address a territory. A gift can sustain you, but authority comes to those who are under authority. And so what God will do is that he will bring you under laws. So that when they point at you, they will point at your God. When you read the scripture about Joseph, the king said something. And you will find this signature on everybody that made impact in scripture. In Genesis 41 verse 38. See what the Bible says. Can we project it? He said, and Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this man? A man in whom is the spirit of God. The king knew that this guy is not just gifted. He knew he's representing a spirit. And so he was traced to that spirit. The reason they traced him to the spirit is not because there were no sorcerers. In those days, you are not a wise man because you read a book. In those days, you are not a wise man because you went to the university. In those days, you are a wise man because you can hear and talk to spirits. Because the kinds of questions that confronted wise men are things that mortals could not solve. You are called a wise man if you have the ability to commune with spirit. And by the agency of spirit, solve human problems. And so the king was able to identify that this particular Joseph, the spirit he represents is the spirit of God. Perhaps the other sorcerers took money. Perhaps the other sorcerers accommodated fornication. Perhaps the other sorcerers lied, but this one had a character. In addition to his gift, there was a character. That character was what defined the spirit that he represented. Many believers are gifted, but they are not under laws. And so you can find a prophet who can call your name and phone number, but he has impregnated 30 women. That prophet is a money launderer. They use his church to sneak money out of one country to another. And that guy is highly gifted. You can't deny it. But the character is not God. And so certain things he wants to say, somebody walks up to him and says, hope you remember you and I traveled to Switzerland. You will think it's a normal journey. No, it's not a journey. There's more good money there. And so because of that, he cannot represent God in that quarters. There are many apostles who come out of crusades. They pull cripples out of wheelchairs. But that very night after the crusade, they go to sleep with somebody who is not their wife. The gift is there, but they can't represent God. And so our numbers are increasing, but divine representation is depleted. Because they are giftings, but they are no representation. You click on the internet, you have 1,001 apostles. You go to any parastatal, pick them randomly. You will not find one parastatal in this country that Christians are not represented, but you can't find God there. You come to Lagos on Sunday, the whole street is empty because everybody is in church. Go to the market on Monday and you will find the people who came to church. They came to receive breakthrough, but they never came under the government of Elohim. And so when you meet us outside, we reflect different spirits. Drop your phone and turn back. You will be shocked if you find it there. The people who are there talking breakthrough, they are so lawless that they cannot see a phone and have the courtesy to give it back to the owner. And this is why everything we call promotion and new dimension is a charade. Because if you've not come under the government of God, you are not promoted anywhere. You are just a criminal being used by another spirit coming to church to make up the number. There's no power when men come under the authority of God. There are four things God does for them. Those are the ones who truly enter new dimensions. Number one, God gives them a name. A name is superior to silver and gold. When a man truly is being promoted in the spirit, one of the ways you know is the authority that his name commands. Because what that spirit does is that he invests his credibility into the man's name. Look at our fathers today. What are the giftings that you can hold on to? When they become mature in God, they know there is something superior to a gift. I've been to meetings where that Ihe Adeboye came to. He just kneels down, prays. Preach the word of God calmly. He doesn't need to sweat as I'm doing. But when he's done, the name that he carries in God can change things in that territory. Many times he just shows up because he came there. Things begin to happen. He doesn't need to pray for anybody. His presence there comes with the validation of the spirit that he represents. They are realms superior to gifts. When a man puts himself under the government of God, God gives him a name. That name carries the credibility of God. He said to Abraham in Genesis 17 verse 5, he said, your name shall no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham. And the reason that happened is because now the man can walk before him perfect. And so when a man comes under the government of God, the dimensions God opens to him are the dimensions of the blessings. And one of that dimension is a name. A name that can open doors. A name that can change things in the lives of people, in families, and in territory. These are the things we should press for. It's not a testimony that you have something to eat. It's not a testimony that you have a car. What is your name in the spirit? What is your name? They introduce you and nothing happens. There were men in scripture that when their names were called, even the elements of creation vibrated. Elijah stood before a king and said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. What kind of power is that? He's a blessed man. His name opens doors and his name shut doors. The king was looking for him for almost 3 years because the hope of the nation was resting on Elijah. If you tell the king that Elijah is somewhere, the whole council, the government council, moves in that direction. Elijah became the map for success in the city because he had a name in the realm of God. We stop new dimensions and we don't step into realms where God can entrust us with names. What door can your name open? What can your name change? Did you not read about Christ? After his obedience was perfected, he said, God gave him a name. It's a sign that you are under government. Because everybody who stays under God's government, God gives him a name. He said, that name is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every tongue confesses that Jesus is the Lord. And every believer must grow up to the realms where God can entrust them with names. I read the story of A.A. Allen. He shows up and somebody is demonized. And he says, I am A.A. Allen. And the demons flee. Because of the validation that his name carried. The sons of Sceva went to cast out demons in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. And the demons themselves told him, Jesus we know. Paul we know. Because it's not only Jesus they know in the spirit. Every true disciple of Jesus is also known. He said, Paul, we know. Who are thou? We are walking about lying, cheating, fornicating, compromising, and we are saying we are Christians. It's even better now that people don't introduce themselves as Christians anymore. In fact, in our world today, if you say you are a pastor, you are a suspect. Because there's no government. In those days, when you are traveling and they say a pastor is here, you can go and sleep. You are safe. Put your daughter under a pastor for 1 week. Come back and hear unimaginable, terrible things that ears should not hear. Because we are not taught the way of government. Our generation is taught lost. From January to December, church is about prophecy. From January to December, church is about what God gives. Meanwhile, the first giving in the spirit is for you to give your life to God. Because after you receive His, you must submit yours. But God is not finding such men. So a new dimension is a journey into government. It's a journey under the authority and dominion of God. Until God is able to trust you enough to give you a name. The second thing God will give you are resources. You will find out that there is a spiritual economic system that causes resources to navigate through the people that God can trust. Because the truth is that God keeps His money with trusted men. Because the money of a spirit is for spirit agenda. And so the same way you have UNICEF, which is a trust fund, there are men in the spirit who are also trust funds. That's where you come into wealth. Because through wealth, you don't actually earn it through salary. There are four ways a spirit makes a man wealthy. Number one is by divine direction. He will tell you what to do that no other person knows. Number two is by divine multiplication. He said, He lifted the bread and gave thanks, and the bread multiplies. He said, the righteous man that standeth not in the way of sinners, nor in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord. He said, it's like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. His fruit never, he produces his fruit in his season, and his leaves never wither. It's a technology called divine multiplication. You start a business with 1 million. In 6 months, it becomes 50 million. In 3 years, it becomes 1 billion. Even you don't know how the money is multiplied. It's a technology in the spirit. The third way God enriches His people is by divine favor. That's why you find certain people keep running contracts in billions. Not because they are the most qualified, but there's something rubbed off on them. He said, God gave favor to the Israelites and despoiled the Egyptians. It's a technology of wealth transfer, and it comes through favor. And the fourth way is through divine wisdom. For witty inventions. That is what engenders resources in the kingdom. But for God to entrust you with that power, He must know that you are His servant. Men have not opened themselves to be chiseled, and they want to wield the powers of the ages to come. Men have not come under the government of God, and they want to handle things that they read in scripture. You think those verses you are quoting are for quoting? They were the lives and the paths that men walked. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because you have a copy of the Bible, you go and pick it up and you are quoting it. Do you know the journeys of David? Do you know where he got to before he could say the Lord is a shepherd? You, that because of hair, you can fornicate. Your shepherds are sugar daddies. The Lord is not one of them. You that can compromise and change figures in the office, you come to quote what David was quoting, a man that came under the government of God. That's why we deceive ourselves with scriptures, because we don't know the spirit of the Bible. You are mighty on your throne. Ah! There is a power that God wants to give to the church, but it's for those who are worthy. Those who can come under His government, He will break them. Even when they are crying, they will stay there. When it's not easy, they will stay there. There are many times God will be breaking you, and you will go through hunger for a period of time. What He's trying to do is to know whether you will back out or you will back in. If you stay there and He can trust you, oh my God, you will see a glory that is only given to the worthy. We run the moment it becomes hard. How can you journey? How can you enter glory when you have not passed through the wilderness? The moment Jesus was announced, the next destination was the wilderness. And he said he was there 40 days. But when he returned, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He said the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness, they saw a great light. Suddenly, he became a light over eternity. He walked through the same city for 30 years. It doesn't take time. It takes dealings. It takes dealings. What are the dealings you have passed? You don't enter new dimensions until God can trust you. And the way God trusts you is like the potter. He will break you to mold you again. He said, I'm the Lord. I kill it. He kill it to make alive. If he doesn't kill you, he can't make you alive. There is a power that only comes to those who allow him to kill them. So that when he makes them, even the principalities can no longer understand them. Their walls become communications of echoes from eternity. Their actions become revelations of the moves of the Spirit. When they talk, when they act, their actions become the acts of the Spirit. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is a display of men who are under the government of the Spirit. And so they enter a city, they said, these be the men that turned their walls upside down. They were no longer mortals. They became connected and infused into an immortal spirit. And so even the walls they speak, time cannot erase them. How could fishermen speak and they are studying their speakings in schools of theology? Because their walls have become ancient. They've come under that spirit so much. Did you not read? It's the holy men of God speak as they were carried by the Spirit of God. They were carried. They were carried. And only pliable men can be carried. We are too rigid in ourselves because we've not come under government. So there will be no new dimension. New dimensions are for those who accept the government of God. When Joseph was in prison, there was no record that God spoke to him. But Joseph said, how will I do this evil and sin against God? He was there. And in Psalm 105, verse 17, he said he sent a man before them. Even Joseph, whom they sold for a servant. How can you send a man as a slave? They sold him. He said his feet was bound in fetters. He said, but until the time that his word came, he said the word of the Lord tried him. Tried him. After he was tried, he said the king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of his people. He said he made him lord of his substance and ruler of his things. He said he gave him power to teach his senators wisdom. How can a slave boy become a teacher of senators? Because something beyond money has come. But it's for those who are tried. He said concerning Daniel, there's a man in thy kingdom. Daniel 5:11, in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. They knew this man beyond their mortality. They knew that they were vitally connected to a spirit. There's a power we cannot have until God can trust us. I don't know what you call relevance. I don't know what you call dimensions. But I read about a man called Elijah. Elijah could call fire from heaven. As though he was a participator of the heavenly realms. Elijah could stand before a king and say there will be no rain. How about the farmers that are praying? One man can be greater than a nation. A man shows up. Do you know that the occupation of certain people depends on the rain? But he was representing a superior agenda. He said there shall be no rain or dew. Not until God speak. He said according to my word. He has a name in the spirit. According to my word. The same man, when it was time to die, God said, you can't die. I will need you again. While others are praying for long life, Elijah alone had four lifetimes. Four. When his first lifetime finished, he was supposed to die. The Bible said, it's given to all men to die once, then judgment. Not Elijah, because some are not men. When it was time for him to die, God carried him and hid him in heaven. And a time came when Jesus was to come, he sent the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah lived again through John. When John was killed, he carried the spirit out. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah shows up again and was telling him what he would do. And even after Jesus left, the Bible said there are two witnesses that will come. Elijah was so relevant that him alone was given four lifetimes. Because God can trust him. To what extent can God trust you? If God cannot trust you, there's a dimension you can't enter. Because there are dimensions that are not gifts. They are entrustments. And so if you want to get into that realm of new dimension, you have to ask God for the grace to stand. Whatever comes your way, you will stand. If it is hunger, you will stand. If it is death, you will stand. No matter what the devil throws at you, you will stand. That's what shifts you to the second dimension. Because there are different kinds of new dimensions. There's a new dimension that can be prophesied over you. But there's another new dimension that is an entrustment. It's for few men on the face of the earth. And when you perfect this realm, then you come to the last realm, which is the realm of consecration and intimacy. Because after God gives you the influence, after God gives you the money, after God gives you the power, He wants to check where is your loyalty. And so the final realms in God are the realms of intimacy. That's why I say, I write unto you, fathers. Young men, He said, they have done exploits. They have overcome the evil one. But when it came to fathers, it was no longer about exploits. He said, you have known Him. That is from the beginning. Because there's a place you come to. All you call new realms are depths in God that opens to you. You have seen it all. All you are interested in now is to be apprehended as much as you apprehend. Is to know Him as you are known. When your life's journey comes to that level, then in the spirit you have become a patriarch. You will leave this world and you will be an elder. And that is where God wants to take His people to. The things God is drawing us to in this conference, they are deeper than bread and wine. The question I leave you tonight is, where are you standing? The realm of a gift is good. It opens doors to you. But every door a gift can open to you, a godless man may also be able to access it. But there's a realm of submission, where the law of God is what dictates how you breathe. That's when God can entrust you with things. That's when God can give you powers that is beyond this age. That's when God can make you to become a law to a generation. Oh, Moses submitted to God until a point came. The very laws of God were renamed. And they called the law of God the law of Moses. They had to rename the laws of God and change it to the laws of Moses. And in 2 Corinthians 3:15, it said, when Moses is read, Moses became immortal. So when you read Exodus, you are reading Moses. When you read Numbers, you are reading Moses. God turned Moses to His letters. And Paul entered such realm. And he said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment for the Lord. He said, but as a man found faithful, I will speak on these matters. And the things Paul said became scriptures. Meanwhile, the Bible said, every scripture is the breath of God. So the breath of Paul became the breath of God. What kind of walking and process is that? Those are the real dimensions in God. Because it's possible for a generation to pass and no one knows God. That's why there was 400 years between Malachi and John the Baptist. People were running, pursuing things that had no eternal value. And God was waiting. He couldn't find the man. Only for God to discover few people. And those people were not part of the honorable men in society. He said there was a woman who lost her husband at 21. He said she was in the temple day and night praying and fasting. Her name was Prophetess Anna. Those were the people God found in a generation. In a whole generation, God found three men. He said Simeon was a prophet. He lived in the temple day and night fasting. And then he found Elizabeth, the wife of a priest. Herself was not a priest, but she knew the ways of God. A whole generation. They had so many Sanhedrins that they had two high priests. But none of them could strike a chord in Zion. God found a widow, an old barren woman, and an ancient prophet in a whole generation. Don't be moved by the many number of churches. Don't be moved by the thousands of people in churches. They may all be used as of God. And that's why you must make up your mind that me, I will stand with God. So if God is seeking two men in the generation, I'll be one of them. If that is where you are, then you are welcome to the new dimensions. Because anything that is available in God
He will open to you generously. I want us to pray now.
Tonight, I just established coordinates. God will heal a lot of people. I'll pray for the sick tomorrow. I'll make declarations over people. There will be many shifts. But over and above that, your life is what God says. Because there are too many fakes. There are too many users of God. There are too many liars with titles in church. And we honor the wrong people. Because we cannot perceive the vibrations of the souls of men. Tonight, I want to give somebody an opportunity. Maybe you are here, and it has not dawned on you that what we are doing is an eternal business. And spirits are bargaining souls. And you have lived carelessly. But today you want to say, Lord, I come under your government. This front is not big. So definitely we can't call people forward. But just in case, can they come forward? You want to submit your life to God in perpetuity and say, Lord, I've used you for too long. Now I give you my life. In the next 2 minutes, I want you to come towards me. You want to submit to God? So I'm told there are people at the overflow. You don't have to come into the hall. You can come to the front of the screen. But hear this. God is looking for men now. That's what God is seeking. Because the new dimension is not only in the lives of men. It's a season and it's a global season. There's a trumpet in the spirit now. God is seeking men. Some of them are in government. Some of them are in the academia. Some of them are in the economy. Some of them are in church. Core leaders in church. But God is seeking men. Because a new dispensation is about to open. And so every time we gather like this, it's an opportunity for a clarion call. And so you are here this evening. You want to submit your life to God. And say, Lord, I give you all. Please come to the front. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. This is not the time to be ashamed. This is not the time to be careful. This is not the time to maintain personality. This is the time for sincerity, sincere submission. And so you want to make that submission to the Lord. You can quickly come forward. You can quickly come forward. Let's worship God. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King,
Kadosh Kadosh. Tonight is your night. You have submitted to the Lord sincerely. And so it's your night. Pray with me, whether you are here or at the overflow. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you have to say it with me. I want to pray for a set of people in another 1 minute before I go. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight in faith. I believe that Jesus died for me and he was risen from the dead for my justification. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Father, I receive eternal life into my spirit. And from today, I live only to serve the will of God. I receive grace to do so because my life glorifies you from today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray that the hand of God will be upon you from today and you will become vessels in the hand of God. In Jesus' precious name. You can go this way. The ushers will help you quickly. Just counsel with you as we round up. Those of you, don't worry, Scott. Those of you in the congregation, stretch your hands towards me. There's something that will happen here in the next 2 minutes as we shut down. Can you play for me? Give me some volume. Get some of my messages this night and hear so that you know my sound. When I was walking in here, God told me he will give spiritual badges to some of you, especially the young ones. He said he will give you badges, and those badges will be seals of authority in the spirit. And on the account of that, your horn will be exalted. And so God will give us a sign now as that impartation begins. Please just be sensitive. You don't need to do anything. The hand of God will touch 12 persons because your life is about to shift experientially. Father, you said you will shift men tonight. You will give them seals of authority, badges in the spirit. And so from the left of this hall to the right, from the front to the back, some of you didn't even come for a message. You know that tonight is an encounter with an ancient spirit that lifts men, that changes their stories. And so in this hall and in the overflow, everyone listening to me and even those online, you say you will touch men, you will coronate men, and you will empower men. And so I call for 12 of them from the pool of those you are calling. Holy Ghost, touch those ones now. Ushers, help me. Bring them now. Bring them now quickly. They are 12. Bring them now. I call for those ones now. The power to overcome. Take that power now. Please help them. Please help them. Please help them. Help them, help them, help them. The hand of God is upon you. Some of you are drinking new wines in the spirit. A fresh wine, a fresh wine. Receive that intoxication of the Holy Ghost that brings you into wisdom and power. Can ushers help them quickly? I'm out of time. Aliyah. Hey. Aliyah. Hey. Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey, hey. I've seen something like a light spread over this place.
And I know it's a spirit of wisdom. Access into dimensions of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, take that light now. Take that light. Step into that light. The wisdom to take over. The wisdom to take over. Access realms of cold. Realms of cold in the spirit. Take that light now. Berekayana Tanabores. Berekada Salina Takatai.
Of time, but hear this. Please stay sensitive. There are two major things God is doing tonight as He awakens hunger in the hearts of men. There are two things. Number one, there is a realm of wisdom God is bringing people to. That wisdom is what will make you go ahead in life. Spirits are equipping their functionaries. We are in the last days. That's why you are seeing inventions in darkness. That is corrupting the souls of men. And so God is raising people also who will be giants in the area of wisdom. They will create and innovate things that will not only make them become powerful, but draw people to God. And so I see a ray of light shining over people here. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, step into that light now. Step into that light now. And I see oil pouring forth from people's hands. Listen, no vision can thrive except as financial power is granted to those who sponsor it. And so it is not in darkness that power will be. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is Him that giveth the power to get wealth. I decree now, everyone being anointed for wealth, the oil that makes wealthy, in the name of Jesus, take that power now. Receive that power now. I command every drought in your life to be turned away. I command every financial reproach, run away. In the name of Jesus. Even before this conference is over, some of you will break into fortunes that you know you don't qualify for. I decree by the Spirit, enter those realms. There's a fire falling on some of you now as I'm talking. Angels are anointing people now. Angels, divine empowerment. Divine empowerment. You came for an encounter. Receive your encounters now. The light of God shines upon you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you. We magnify your name. Can we just be silent for a second? I'm seeing something like a rushing wind just run through this auditorium. I'm sorry we're out of time, but just be sensitive. Some of you, it will hit you. You can't even hold yourself. You will scream. It's like a rushing wind. There's a shift about to happen over this entire atmosphere. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.